Our work in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 continues this morning. Last week on Labor Day Sunday, we began looking at the labor to which we as Christians have been called by God. We looked at this labor through the lens of Paul's building metaphor set up for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In terms of an organizing rubric to help us grasp the meaning of Paul's divinely inspired teaching here, I introduce the acronym FAME, F-A-M-E. The morning's text speaks to us in terms of F, foundation, A, assignment, M, materials, and E, evaluation. Paul conceptualizes Christian labor as one of building on the sure, stable, and all-sufficient foundation of Jesus Christ. Last week, we looked at the F and the A, the foundation and the assignment aspects of the work to which we've been called. This week, I want us to look at the M and the E, the materials and the evaluation. You may recall, if you were with us last week, that we established that truth that Jesus Christ is the foundation upon which we build. We also established that this building on Jesus is our assignment. It's important that we build on Jesus, following the pattern that Jesus himself established. Jesus is the only foundation that's able to stand firm without shifting. All of the ground is sinking sand. Listen, not only is Jesus as the foundation sturdy enough to support the work of our witness, Jesus also provides the pattern for our work. You see, to build on the foundation of Jesus Christ is to follow the pattern that he left to us in his word and in the model of his life. If in our work in the kingdom, we construct a building that's too small, that's constrained by things like racism and sexism and xenophobia, that building that we are constructing will fall because it does not rest on the foundation. It's like trying to build a 3,000 square foot house atop a foundation sized for a 50,000 square foot mansion. The house that you're trying to build is too small for the foundation. There's no way that the foundation can support it because the house ain't big enough. Nothing wrong with the foundation. The problem is that the house is too small to sit on the foundation. Likewise, a building that's too big, that encompasses ideas and theologies and policies that stretch beyond the pattern established by Jesus, that building is also destined to fall. Imagine the obverse example of the one we just talked about. Imagine trying to build a 50,000 square foot mansion atop a foundation sized for a 3,000 square foot house. The building would overhang the foundation on every side, and the stresses in the overhang would drag the building down. Our assignment, my brothers and my sisters, is to build on the foundation of Jesus Christ. We've got to follow the pattern that Jesus established. Now, having covered the foundation and the assignment of our FAME rubric last week, I want us to turn to the materials and to the evaluation aspects of our text. Let's begin the reading at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 12, where Paul writes, "Now if anyone build on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is." That opening phrase, "Now, if anyone build," might better be translated, "Moreover, if anyone build." The point that Paul is making is that the very fact that Jesus left us a foundation should be understood as an implied command for us, his followers, to build upon that which he left. Listen, the only reason that God gave us a foundation is so that we would, in fact, build. As followers of Jesus Christ, we are called to build on him. That's our assignment. It's our only assignment. In John chapter 14 and verse 12, Jesus promised that we would not only be empowered to do what he himself did when he walked the earth, but that we would do greater works. Jesus left us the foundation and expects us to build upon it, upon, up, and on it. Upward into greater works. Our assignment is to build on the foundation so that we accomplish greater works in the kingdom. This week we give more in-depth consideration to the materials used in the construction of the building that serves as a metaphor for the ministry to which we have each been called. It's worth noting that Paul does not talk about the style of the building that we construct. Paul doesn't write about the building of a temple or the building of a home or the building of a tower or the building of a fortress in this text. No, Paul does not address building style. Rather, Paul directs our attention to the materials used in putting up the building, the greater work that we are called to build upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. Build whatever suits you, Paul says. Just be sure to build to the glory of God. And here's the material from which you may choose. Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw. That's what Paul means when he writes, "Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw," he means build whatever you want. Here's the materials from which you may choose. As everyone knows, the construction of a building requires the use of materials. Those who build must choose the material put to use in construction. And when it comes to building, the quality of the materials used matters. As builders, we Christians would do well to pay attention to the quality of the materials that we choose to use as we carry out our kingdom work. And just to be clear, the choice of material rests with the individual builder. That's the way Paul sets this thing up. Also notice, we'll come back to it later, but I want to draw your attention to it here for just a moment. Notice that the implication of Paul's writing is that while a builder may try to mask or cover up, camouflage, dress up the materials that she or he chooses, ultimately, the quality of the material used in building is going to be evaluated and revealed. Watch the text. Paul says, "Now if anyone build on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and fire will test each one's work of what sort it is." Join me in the morning's text as we look more closely at the materials and the evaluation of the work to which we have been assigned. Assigned to build on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Come, let's go to work in the text. After introducing us to the foundation and making it clear that our assignment is to build thereon, Paul provides us with a listing of six available building materials. These six materials are listed for us in the text, and they may be subdivided into two groups: flammable and non-flammable. Stuff that catches fire and stuff that won't. Gold, silver, precious stones, the first group, those are the non-flammable materials. And the second group, wood, hay, and stubble, that's the stuff that will catch on fire. And of course, as you look at the text, it's easy to discern that the non-flammable materials are the more expensive materials. In light of the fact that there is a day coming where each person's building is going to be evaluated by fire, Paul's listing of the materials forces us to ask the same ultimate question: what quality of material will I choose to build with? Indeed, the question with which each of us must wrestle is this: will we choose the non-flammable materials which will endure the flames of evaluation? Or will we build with the cheap stuff that will go up in flames? It really is a rather personal and pointed question. Which material will you use, brother, sister, builder? Which material will you use as you build on Jesus Christ? What type of investment are you willing to make in your building? Will you go for the cheap stuff? Wood, hay, straw? Or will you use the best quality available? As an initial matter, the question is about how each of us values our assignment. And that really takes us back to consideration of the foundation on which we build. The foundation has been left to us. It is a perfect foundation, able to hold up the building. Isaiah notes that Jesus is a foundation laid in Zion by the hand of God. Isaiah describes it like this. He says, "Jesus is a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. My sisters and my brothers, we have been given a precious cornerstone, a valuable foundation in Jesus Christ. And the question before us is this: will we build on Jesus with material that is worthy of the foundation, or will we go for the cheap stuff? And it's a question that each of us must answer for our own selves. What will you build with? To quote the psalmist, what shall I render unto the Lord? Come here, Sullivan Pugh. You may build great cathedrals, large or small. You may build skyscrapers, grand and tall. Listen, what you build, the building type, if you will, does not matter so much as what you choose to build with. The question we must come to terms with is this: will we use gold, silver, precious stones, or will we choose to use wood, hay, and straw atop the precious foundation of Jesus Christ? Our individual buildings are going to take unique forms. Your building doesn't have to look like mine, because not everyone is assigned to do the same thing in the kingdom. We talked a little bit about it last week. The specifics of our individual assignment, that is to say, our buildings will differ because our gifts differ. Regardless of how our gifts differ, and therefore our buildings differ, the test will be the same. Everyone's building will be evaluated by fire. And if you want your building to stand, you better choose the non-flammable, valuable material offered in the text. We are building on the pattern, on the foundation of Jesus Christ, and in accordance with Jesus' teaching in John chapter 14 and 12, our building should be a greater work. Listen, you can't build a greater work using lesser material. Maybe I need to say it again. You cannot build a greater work by using lesser material. How do we build this greater work? We build it upon, up and on, the foundation that Jesus left. That means we've got to do what Jesus did. The call for us, my brothers and my sisters, the call for us is to do what Jesus did. Build up on what Jesus did. Preach the good news to the least and the lost and the left out. But listen, preaching isn't enough. Just talking about it, we've got to actively work to heal those who are downtrodden. The call for us in building is to proclaim liberty, and at the same time we talk about liberty, we are all supposed also to liberate those held captive by the world and its systems. Jesus told us this in Luke chapter 4 and 18. We are called to do the work. And let me be clear, the work that is required does not require us to have licensing credentials or ordination papers. The Great Commission is written for every believer, for every builder, all of us are called to be witnesses. That's why we got the Holy Ghost. Jesus said the Holy Ghost was coming so that we could be witnesses. It's our witness in word and deed that builds the kingdom. And we ought to build with the best material available. The foundation upon which we build deserves our best material. The precious foundation deserves gold and silver and precious stones. Again, I say, we cannot do greater works by employing lesser materials. And yet this logical implausibility does not seem to deter us, nor does our illogical and dare I say, our sinful tendency in this regard, trying to ease by using cheap, flammable material, nor does our illogical tendency escape Paul's divinely inspired vantage. Indeed, that's why Paul warns us that the buildings that we build will be evaluated. 1 Corinthians 3 and 13 continues, says, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. Now here's the thing, y'all. If we followers of Christ uniformly and consistently chose the best materials for building on the foundation, no evaluation would be necessary. Every aspect of our individual public witness, every building that we built, would be made of gold, silver, and precious stones. Every building would be made from the good stuff if we would just choose it. There'd be no need for an evaluation. And yet we know from practical experience, and well, if we're honest, we know from our own personal experience, that consistently choosing the best materials is not something that we do. More often than we care to admit publicly, our own human shortcomings lead us to try to build in the kingdom with lesser materials. The cheap stuff. The flammable stuff. There are perhaps a variety of reasons, convenience, outright laziness, misplaced priorities, lack of exposure, things that lead us to try to build greater works with lesser material. But regardless of the reason, the truth of the matter is that we fall short in our building enterprise. Rather than building on the foundation with the best material, we try to get by using the cheap stuff. We try to ease by giving God less than our best. Sure, the work fits on the foundation. It is, after all, Christian work. But the quality of the material, and likewise the work itself, is cheap. We do just enough to get by. We preach, but without dedicated study. We sing, but without rehearsal. We play instruments, but without practice. We serve, but we serve out of obligation rather than dedication. My brothers and my sisters, that's just wood, hay, and straw. It fits on the foundation, but our efforts, the materials with which we build, are not worthy of the foundation. And then, to further complicate matters, we try, Paul implies, we try to cover up the cheap material that we've used, to cover it up and make it look like more than what it really is. That's why Paul continues at verse 13 saying, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. The clear implication of Paul's inspired assessment is that some of us are accomplished cover-up artists. The only reason that the quality of our work would have to become clear and that its true nature has to be revealed is that the builder of the work has somehow camouflaged the cheap construction material so that it looks as if it is of a higher quality. Lord, help me preach this. Paul knows us well. Paul knows that in our work and in our witness, we'll put second-rate material on the foundation and then try to spruce it up. In fact, we're so good at camouflage and subterfuge that even a trained eye could be fooled. We'll take some wood and dip it in golden paint. Coat the wood so thoroughly that others can't tell that there's wood beneath the veneer. And we'll place that covered up wood on the foundation of Jesus Christ, knowing good and well that it's mere wood, that it's not worthy of the foundation. We know it and we just don't care. Listen, it wasn't that long ago that the president of a major gathering of pastors and preachers plagiarized a whole sermon, down to the sermon examples, word for word. The sermon looked just like gold to the folks who gathered. But in reality, it was just painted wood. We're supposed to be serving others, building up the kingdom in Jesus' name, but we show up with an attitude and a personal agenda. Talking about my name better be on the program and they better note every one of my degrees. See, that's just wood. We took the engagement not to lead in worship. We took the engagement because we needed a gig to make some money. That's just flammable stuff. We stacked bales of hay atop the foundation, painted them over with silver, and tried to pass off our efforts as valuable when the truth of the matter is that it's just flammable stuff. Listen, Paul says that I might fool some of the folk, even fool them most of the time, but there's a day coming, lording other overs, but over others because I've got a position in the church. More concerned about my title than I am about doing the work, all up on the Zoom call. Talking about, I's the chair of this here committee. That's just straw glued together with bits of colored glass sprinkled in so that it sparkles in the spotlight like a gem. But in the end, is just straw. My sisters and my brothers, the implication of Paul's writing is clear, if uncomfortable. It really ought to cause each of us to do some soul searching. The day of judgment is coming. There will be an evaluation. I might fool you, but I can't fool the fire. I may have managed to cover it up for years, a little paint here, a little glitter over there, some gold applique, some silver leaf. I might fool you, but there's no fooling the fire. If you build with flammable material, when the flame hits, it's a done deal. Paul is trying to remind us to be honest with our individual selves. Listen, whenever I work on my building, I need to ask myself, am I building with gold, silver, and precious stones? Am I building with a sense of integrity and reverence? Am I building as unto the Lord, offering up a sacrifice to God, or am I just faking the funk, trying to fool others and ease by? My brothers and my sisters, the material that we use matters. Only what is done right and well will remain standing on that day. As Paul warns, my selfish, self-indulgent folly will be burned all the way down to the foundation. Listen in as Paul rounds out this building metaphor in verses 14 and 15 of our text. Paul writes, if anyone's work which she has built on it endures, she will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, she will suffer loss, but she herself will be saved, yet so as through fire. On judgment day, the day of evaluation, we builders will be confronted with one of two states, well, actually three states of affairs. Our work will either endure or our work will be burned, or by implication, our work will come through the fire somewhere between these two extreme states. You've got to see the picture that Paul is painting through the use of metaphorical language about buildings and fire. On the one hand, he says, if anyone's work endures. And on the other hand, he says, if anyone's work is burned. Two extremes that necessarily imply a middle ground. On the one hand, Paul presents the hypothetical that a builder's work endures on the judgment day. The Greek word translated endures means that the building itself is wholly unaffected by the fire, implying that the entire building is constructed of gold, silver, and precious stones and remains standing. No wood. Use no hay, no straw. After the fire, the entire building is intact. That's what it means for the work to endure. By way of contrast, Paul also presents the hypothetical that a builder's work is completely consumed by the fire of judgment day. That's what's meant by the word translated burned. Burned is not just scorched. Burned, in the sense that it is used in the text, means complete and utter destruction by fire. The truth of the matter is that none of us is so holy nor so utterly depraved that we would find ourselves in either position. The best of us will, because of our human condition, the best of us will use some flammable material in our building endeavors. Elements of sin and ego and less than pure motives, even when we do a pretty good cover-up job. Those things will sneak in Get in. Nobody's building will endure. Nobody's. All of us got some wood in our building. And similarly, no person who has had a genuine encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, no saved person, is going to build exclusively with flammable materials. You see, the truth of the matter is that every builder's work, every building is going to be affected by the fire. Some of us will lose more than others. Some will lose less. It depends on the quality of the material that's used. The more gold, silver, and precious stones that a builder uses, the more she or he will have left to show for it. That's what Paul means when he speaks about a reward. A reward in the sense of the Greek word used here is about what a worker receives as a result of his or her labor. Those who labor using the best materials will receive a reward commensurate with the choices they have made. But listen, the good news of the text is not about this reward. The good news of the text is that every builder, no matter how much she or he loses to the fire on the day of judgment, no matter how much is lost, the good news of the text is that every builder, every blood-bought believer in the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. It doesn't matter what happens to your building. No matter how much of the work is burned up because of human frailty, the promise of God to you and to me is that we builders will make it through that day. In the same way that gold and silver and precious stones will survive the fire of judgment, so shall we. On the day of judgment, God promises every builder that she or he, herself or himself, will be saved as through fire. Don't miss the significance of Paul's proclamation. Paul, ever the prophet and the poet, is pointing out that the fire of the day will purify us in the same way that fire purifies gold and silver. The day of judgment is the day when this mortal shall put on immortality and this corruptible flesh shall put on incorruption. On that day, on the day of judgment, the work is over, the reward is given, but more importantly, on that day, that's the day when we who have accepted the assignment to build on the foundation will receive the prize. We shall be, that's the promise of the text, we shall be saved. Yes, we're called to work, we're called to build, but never forget that the work doesn't save you. As Paul told the church at Ephesus, we are saved by grace through faith, not by works. There's no room to boast about your reward. All of us who made it through the fire made it only because of the grace of God extended to us in Jesus Christ. In the end, on that day, we shall all be saved. The promise of salvation ought to motivate us in our work. The promise that we shall be saved ought to inspire us to use the best material to get the gold and the silver and the precious stones together down here, because it's our offering to God. We ought to build with our best because God has promised us a home with Him. Every builder ought to build knowing that the promise of God is this. Come what may, You'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Whatever happens down here, the promise of God to you and to me is that we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And listen, when I think about it, I'm reminded of my grandmother's testimony. She would say, baby, who wouldn't serve a God like this? I'll work on the building down here because God has promised me a building over there. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Listen, I'm working on a building down here, but I'm looking forward to making it to my home over there, to the building Jesus has prepared for me. Listen, it's time to go. I've got to quit, but I want to remind you that Jesus' promise will see us through. His promise will see us through today and through tomorrow and through the day of judgment and through all of eternity. But until then, I'll keep working on the building. It's a true foundation, holding up the bloodstained banner for my Lord. And one day when I get through working on the building, I'm going up to heaven, going to the building Jesus prepared for me, going up to heaven to get my reward. And when I get to heaven, if I have any gold or silver or precious stones left over from my reward on the building down here, maybe I'll get enough time to fashion that gold and silver and precious gems, to fashion it into a crown or two, so that I can join the saints of the ages and the host of heaven, bowing at the feet of our God and cast down crowns at the Lord's feet, praising God forever and forever, thanking God for saving me through the fire and bringing me home to live with him forever. Oh, I want to see him and look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace on the streets of glory. Let me lift my voice. Cares are past, home at last, ever to rejoice in the building that the Lord has prepared for us, the builders.